today we're going to be speaking about the different ways to hold an animal still during Shrita. And I'm going to start with a little bit of history, just to sort of set the tone for what we're going to be talking about. And then we're going to fill in some of the pieces on the more confused or halachic issues. Now, it's like this. An animal needs to be held still during Shrita. And the main reason for that is to avoid a drasa, which is to say, as if the animal were to move, then it could press its neck into the knife rather than have the knife slicing through, and that would be a drasa, that would make the animal to an avela. So, until, I don't know, 100 years ago or so, maybe a little more than that, a little more than 100 years ago, the way they did that was, the animal was, people wrestled the animal to the floor, laid it down on its back, and the shechet, they held it down, and the shechet came along and shechted the animal. But as things became a little bit more industrialized and things changed a little bit, people were uncomfortable with the way that was done, with that idea of just holding the animal down, literally wrestling it to the floor and holding it down. And a very big change happened in 1906. Someone printed a book called The Jungle, which has talked about the horrible conditions in slaughterhouses, not specifically kosher ones, but in slaughterhouses, particularly in the Chicago area, with the workers and the animals, etc. And that led to a really big change in public attitude, and shortly thereafter, to what was called the U.S. Pure Food and Drug Act of 1906 and the Meat Inspection Act. And in those, the government set up rules of what it considered to be sanitary and acceptable for processing of meat and many other products, and including that they didn't want animals laying in the blood from a previous animal that had been slaughtered. And that meant that you really couldn't throw that, put the animal down on the floor when the last animal had just been slaughtered before him. So that was sort of left slaughterhouses with a problem. They couldn't do things the way they had used to being done. So they moved to something called the shackle and hoist. And shackle and hoist means is a chain is shackled onto the back leg, the two back legs of the animal. And the animal walks into the area, and it's hoisted up, yanked up by its back legs through this chain. And the animal then is sort of dangling there, so it's shackled on its back leg and hoisted up. And somebody will grab the animal's head to hold it still, and or its nose, with either by hand or with a special tool, and they grab the head and pull the head backwards. That is to say, the head goes all the way back towards its back, and then the neck is sticking out, and the animal could be shechted. That's called shackle and hoist. And that was considered acceptable for a couple of decades. But in 1958, the government passed another set of laws called the Humane Slaughter Act. And that said is that slaughter must be humane. And it specifically said two ways to make slaughter be considered humane. And one of them was that the animal needs to be rendered insensitive to pain before it's shackled and hoisted, and some other things. So just to say, that means you can't do shackle and hoisting with an animal that's still alive, and that's had not been rendered unconscious. But it also said another way to do it, and that is if you slaughtered in accordance with the ritual requirements of the Jewish faith, or some other religion. But if you did according to Jewish faith, if you did shrita, that was also considered to be humane. So of course, Jewish people were very happy that the government made an official acknowledgement that shrita is humane. But sort of the undertone of this whole law was that really shackle and hoisting is not humane, and a special exception is being made for shrita, but basically it's not considered to be humane. So people started moving away from that, and the government set up something called the National Advisory Committee to the Secretary of Agriculture to try to find a way to make to do shrita in a way that would be considered humane for everybody else, but would also would not be an issue for the shrita itself. Rabbi Shaver Salvichik was very involved with that, with those dealings of that National Advisory Committee. He testified for the committee two times in 1961 and 64, and they worked together with the ASPCA and with manufacturers of equipment and other people in the industry, and eventually they created a pen. We'll talk about later exactly what a pen is, but a pen to hold the animal during shrita, and they called it the ASPCA pen. Or the Cincinnati pen. And that became pretty standard in the kosher industry starting from then. So again, the law technically had allowed shackling and hoisting as being considered humane if it's done for shrita, but the Jewish community got together to try to find ways that would not to avoid shackling and loosing, they came up with this pen. Now, the truth is, there was another pen right around that time in 1960 that was created in Canada, a similar pen. Rav Soloveitchik and Eliezer Silver both approved of that pen in Canada. The American government wasn't happy with how that came out, so they had to work on this variation, which they called what eventually came to be called the ASPCA pen. Okay, now, the idea of a pen, of having a pen to hold the animal in as a way to do shechita rather than shackling and hoisting, is actually not invented in the 1950s. It was way back, at least in the 1920s, when a firm Jewish tailor, of all things, in England, created a pen. His name was Weinberg, so it was called the Weinberg Casting Pen. And that was also a pen to hold animals, at least in the 20s, and I see records of it being around. And that was also a pen that was used in England as a way to hold an animal during Shechita. The big difference between the Weinberg pen and the ASPCA pen is that the Weinberg pen was a rotating pen, meaning after the animal got into the box and was held in place, as I'll explain to you in a few minutes how that works, then the Weinberg pen rotated 180 degrees, so the animal was sort of laying on its back. And the Shechita could be done in a way that was a little more traditional, that the animal laying on its back, as opposed to the ASPCA pen, was an upright pen where the animal was held in place in this box, in this pen, but it was still standing up. It was upright. Okay, so that's a little bit of the history of how things went from going from animals laying on the floor to shackling and hoisting and into different types of pens that are used. Now, let's go through each of those stages one by one and talk about some of the issues that there are with them. Now, I already mentioned that shackling and hoisting, that was our first method after the animal, the first more modern method way of shechita, that shackling and hoisting had questions about whether it's humane, whether it's appropriate, and of course, from the din side of it, that raises questions of tzar b'lechayim. If an animal is, if there are other ways to shackle without causing pain, then, as some say, it's a tzar that's nothing to do with the shechita, that's not there in order for us to get the meat, that would hire be usher. Okay, that's sort of like a, if I could use the word, a side issue. It's a tzar b'lechayim if there are no other choices. Now, but there are a couple of shechita related issues that, or meat related issues that have to do with shackling and hoisting. The simplest one is that when you lift up a animal by its hind legs, you hoist it up by its hind legs and you leave it dangling there, you're opening up the very strong possibility of the coolest, that's the femur, the very large, the top bone, the bone closest, the leg bone that's closest to the hip, being ripped out of its socket, which is called, in Gemara terms, called a bukut atma d'shaf miduchte, which would make the animal into a trefa. So pulling the animal up like that and hanging it by its leg potentially would render the animal a trefa in a way that, before then, no one ever checked for that kind of trefa. It's very uncommon, and who would look for it except, you'd see an animal look wrong without that. And it supposedly, at that time, when they were doing shackling and hoisting, that was a requirement, was to check the animal to make sure it didn't become a trefa in that way. So that's the simplest issue, which is by yanking it by its leg and leaving it hanging, then you may pull the bone out of its socket and there will be a trefa. Okay, but the more serious issue that people speak about is the question is, should it be a drasa? And that drasa is from two different angles. The first one is practical. Practical is an animal is hanging by its leg. It obviously doesn't feel comfortable and happy hanging like that. So the animal is going to be banging itself all around, trying to get out of this very unusual and unnatural position. So when it does that, so you try to hold it still, and people are holding it, but if the animal continues to move and moves at all during the shechita, you're opening yourself up to the fact that you may have caused, there may be a drasa from it banging itself into the knife. Now, the truth is that most of the things that would go wrong with the shechita, what's the shechita, the shechita pauses in the middle of the shechita, or he's a drasa himself, he bangs down instead of slicing. It's in the shechita's control, and he should be alert for that, and he would notice that. It's a little harder to expect him to imagine, to notice when the animal moves in the middle of his shechita, but I guess he would have to keep his eyes open for that. But it's a very difficult thing, because you're putting the animal into a position where it's, by all natural means, it would want to get out of there. It would want to move in a way that would potentially cause it a drasa. And in fact, in 1958, right around this time, while a lot of this was brewing, in 1958, Rabbi Eliezer Silver wrote a letter into a journal that was called Hamar. And in this letter he writes that because of this problem, that the animal might move and cause a drasa, he said he forbade all of his shritas from using shackling and hoisting. He would not let any of his places use it. All the places that he was involved in, he would not let them use shackling and hoisting. And he says, and you know, when the Ritvaz was in Chicago 50 years before me, he also wouldn't let this, for the exact same reason, because of the problem that it might cause a drasa. He says, no, the younger Rabbanim aren't aware of these things, they don't know, so they've been letting people do this, but I don't let it, and the Ritvaz also did not let it in his time when he lived in America. So that's a very practical issue of it being a drasa. And sort of like an aside to that, is that Menashe Klein, and he says, when he speaks about this, he says he once went to a shlita where they were doing shackling and hoisting, and he asked them this question, well, how do you avoid this problem of it being a drasa? So he said, well, no problem. When we hang it up there, we just let it thrash around the bima farchas until it wears itself out, and by the time it wears itself out, then we go and we have it shechted. So, of course, you can think about the horrible tzar b'chaim to leave the animal to that point, and you have to wonder what other kind of problems it could cause. What kind of other trefas it could cause by having an animal bang around like that for so long? Anyhow, not pretty. Okay, now, but the other angle that people come speak about this question of drasa is not, so to speak, from the practical of did you cause a drasa, but is there a iser to shech in this way because it might cause a drasa? Meaning, the first thing I spoke about, does it actually cause it to be a drasa? But maybe it didn't actually cause it. But it might be that it's also altogether to do that. So what it is like this. We are not going to talk about all the details of that. There are many, many details to that, Shiloh. What it is, in short, is basically the Gemara says, seems to say, the way Rashi learns it, that when you sheft an animal, you can sheft an animal. There's two ways the Gemara's terms are for how you shech an animal. You can shech it milamata, with the shech is on top, and the knife comes from milamaila, lamata, to the animal who's below, and that's much more kal, that's more easy to do a shechita in that way. And another way to shech is milamata lamaila, with the shech and the knife are below the neck, and they're shechting in an upward motion to the neck, which is lamaila. And the Gemara says that there are less things that are mutter when it's milamata lamaila. When the neck is above, there are less things that are mutter. Okay? And the simple reading, according to Rashi, of the Gemara is that what we're describing over here, which is the animals being held in place, and the shech moves his knife to shech the animal, is kosher l'chatchila if it's milamata lamaila. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. The Rambam appears like that. The Rambam, who says also you could check them both, whether the animal is above or below, the way the Lech Mishnah explains, the Rambam also means that it's mutter even l'chatchila to do that, even if the animal, if it's milamata l'mayla, the animal, the head is above the knife. And the Shach, again, the simple reading in the Shach is that, again, like this, like we're just saying, that it's mutter even l'chatchila. Come along, the Prichodesh has a kash on the Shach, based on the Gemara, and the primary answer to that question comes from the Sima Chadasha. And the Sima Chadasha wants to answer up, are there some impressions that milamata lamayla, you're not allowed to shecht it l'chadchila. You're not allowed to do the l'chadchila. And the Sima Chadasha says that the answer is like this. If the animal's head is held in place by hand, somebody if people grabbing the animal's head, that is l'chadchila not allowed milamata lamayla, because the animal might slip. The animal wants to move, or it's easy for the animal to move when it's standing, when its head is straight up. It's easier for it to move, and therefore people might not hold onto it well enough, and the animal could slip and it would be a drasa. Only if the animal's head is on the floor, and it's more relaxed and more calm and more controlled, that's when you can do that. But the Sima Chadasha says, but if the animal's head is held, not by hand, but the animal's head is held by some kind of a device, it's tied down, or some kind of a brace, or some kind of a bar, something that holds it in place, something physical, that's not like a human who's subject to, you know, being yanked one way or the other by the animal, then that's the case where the Shach says it's mutter, and that's the case that the Gemara, etc., everyone would say that it's mutter to do it milamata l'mayla. Okay? That's how Sima Chadasha learns. Most of the Poskim, a long list of Poskim, accept that's correct, that's Pshat in this thing. Daki Tshuva brings a different answer. He talks there from the Minchas HaZevach, but if you turn back in the Minchas HaZevach, he's bringing from a sefer called Derech Chaim, and Derech Chaim says he has a different answer to the Prichodesh's Kasha, and the way he answered the Kasha none of those cases are lechatchila. Even if it's held by a device, by like a tie down or something like that, it's still not mutar lechatchila to do mil matal maila. But the evidence okay, but not lechatchila to do mil matal maila. So most of the later achronim, except what the Simcha Dasha says, it's Rav Moshe says it, and Dain Wires, and Rabelski, and the Satmarov, and the Nirvatarov, all say, like Rav Moshe says, like the Simcha Dasha says, which is that if the head is tied down, then even Milamata Lamayl is Mut L'Chadchila. It's completely Mutta to do L'Chadchila. Some, Nikleboisim, Harish Nasan, and Mishnah Lachas, they say, no, you should be Machmir for this other Shita of the Menchus HaZevach, who they bring was a big, an important person, a significant person, and they say, no, you should be machmir for that sheet and say, you can't, milamata lamaila doesn't work even if you tie the animal down. L'chadchila is not a way to shech, even if you tie the animal down. So, again, most people follow what Rav Moshe says, which is, Rav Moshe and the others, all the other names I mentioned, that as long as the animal's head is tied down, then it's Rav Moshe even really wants to be even more make on. See, even if you held it by hand, really, it's mutta. But he says, no, we should be machmir for the Simcha Chadasha, to say that at least it has to be held down. It has to be held down by strings or pole or something has to hold it down to brace them. Okay, so in which case, when we have an animal that's being held, that's by shechita tchuya. That's what Rav Moshe is speaking about. Shechita tchuya. Rav Moshe says it would be okay to shech now shechita tchuya. The shechita is milamata lamayla. The animal is hanging down and the head is pulled back, so the head is now higher than the shechit, and the shechit shechs it in upward motion. So Rav Moshe says it's only mutter if they tie the animal's head down. If they just hold it by hand, a human bunch of people holding onto it would not be enough, and that caused a change in how people practiced. People started following Rav Moshe, said that they would tie the animal's head rather than just hold it by hand. So again, that avoids the potential, is there maybe an issur to do that? Of course, we have to avoid actually being addressable also. Now, so that was the big one of the big questions that had to do with shechita tchuya. Was it actual drasa, or was it issur to do it like this because it potentially could lead to a drasa? Now, some of the pesukim, this is like sort of now just like today this is considered not a relevant point. Some of the pesukim spoke about the fact that a shechir when he shechs in a way that he's not a typical way to shech, in an unusual way. he needs to do that with other people watching him, and some unusual ways to shech, like sitting down, you're not allowed to do it all because it's such a strange position for a shech to be in that's not considered kosher shechita. So there were those who raised the issue, and they said, "Well, shech de milamata lamayla is very unusual. Whoever shech like that, everybody shechs face with the animal down, so therefore it should not be kosher for that reason." So that was a reasonable point to bring up when this first came, into style. But like the Nirvartha says, he says nowadays, most shechtim have never shechted in a downward manner. Actually, they all use a pen facing up. Well, I'll get the pens in a second. Or the shechita tchuya, they always do it in a way that's facing upwards. So that point is moot at this point. We're not really relevant right now. Most shechtim have plenty of experience doing it that way. Okay. So now, before we move on to the next type, which is the upright pen, I do need to notice the following. Mention the following. The pen, the shechita tchuya that there is, works for any animal. The pens that we're going to talk about in a minute are mainly for behemoth gases. But now that I've mentioned this thing that Rav Moshe says, that, and again, with many before him, that the animal needs, the head needs to be tied down when you do the shechita, if you do milamata lamayla, raises a question that at some lamb shechitas, again, before I get to that one, but some lamb shechitas, they do perfectly fine. The animal's laid down, either on the floor, not on the floor anymore, but on some kind of a bed or some kind of a brace, and the animal's laid down, so the shechita is milamata lamata, from the knife is above the animal, and there's no problem. Whoever holds the animal's head makes no difference. But in a different shechita that I was at, that shechts lamb, the animal was basically in a standing position. It wasn't in a pen that I'm going to describe in a minute. It was in some kind of device that sort of held it still, but the head was not restrained at all, and the head needed an operator. A person had to stand and physically hold the head into place, and the shechit would shecht, milamata lamayla. The knife was below the neck, and it shechted it up. So the question was, well, how does that work? Don't we know that you need to have it secured it has to be tied down or held down in some kind of a device. You can't just hold it down by hand. When I asked that to the Rav Moshe, he says, no, that thing is only for a behemoth gossip, for like cattle, but not for behemoth akla, like a sheep or goat. And that doesn't apply for behemoth akla. So that's an answer, but it's hard to justify that answer when Rav Moshe says nothing like that. And the Simcha Chadasha, which is where this all starts from, this whole sheet that starts in Simcha Chadasha, says specifically, I'm saying this for behemoths and for oifas. And he even speaks out. He says, when I say behemoth, I mean behemoth dakta and behemoth gasa. So it's hard to justify how to say that this din doesn't apply for behemoth dakta, and why a person should allow to be that animal to be restrained by hand in those places. Okay. So now we move on to the what we call the ASPCA pen, or the upright pen. And it's called an upright pen because, as I mentioned, the animal in this pen is going to stand up perfectly as if he's standing on the floor. And what it is the pen is basically a box, like a rectangular box laying on its side. The animal walks into the box from the back, and there's a hole in the front that its head can fit out of. So what happens is, as the animal walks in, there's a pusher in the back that pushes the animal in and basically forces him to get all the way to the front of the box, and his head sticks out of the hole that there is in the front of the box. Then the walls on the sides come in together to hold the animal. So there's the walls holding him on the side, squeezing him from the side, and something pushing from the back. So the animal is sort of held very tightly in place in the pen. And then, in some cases, there's a belly lift, which is something that comes up from underneath that lifts the animal up a few inches off the ground, so the animal is no longer standing on the floor, just hanging there. Again, it helps hold the animal in place. The animal can't move where it's standing. Now, the head that's sticking out the front, like a little window in the front, the head, coming from below the animal's chin, comes with what's called the chin lift. It lifts the chin up like a bar. It's like a metal bar, usually a semicircle, and it lifts the animal's chin up as high as it can. And sometimes there's something on the top that pushes down the animal's head also, so it sandwiches the animal's head between the chin lift and this bar from the top. There's some is or isn't. So now the animal's head is wide, the neck is, the animal's head is lifted high up, the neck is stretched out, and the shechit can come ahead and do a shechita. So this pen, this type of a pen, avoids lots of the issues that we spoke about. There's no patah v'lechayim. The animals happen to be very happy and comfortable usually. There's no pukudam or problems. Remember, the animal has to be held in place by a brace, not by hand. It's held by, here it is. And that's great. So again, if you think that milamata lamaila never works, lechatchila, then you will not go for this kind of a pen. But again, everybody who assumes that you can do milamata lamaila, as long as it's held not by a human being, would be okay with this pen. Should be okay with this pen. The only thing to consider is that the benefits of this pen may actually be cause an issue. And that is, the benefit of the pen is that it's built to hold the animal securely. The animal's happy and calm, that's for sure, but it holds the animal securely with this this chin lift that comes up, and sometimes there's a piece on the top that holds the animal's head in place rather than a person holding it. So that's good, but the downside of that is that it basically it's one size fits all, which is to say is, depending on the type of cattle that a slaughterhouse gets, they'll get a pen to match the size of those cattle. And bigger or smaller, the pen has to be a match for the size of the cattle they're going to have. But in the end of the day, the pen is only one size. So if you have an animal whose head is particularly large or particularly small for the average of that place, that animal's head is not going to be held so well to the pen in this brace. This chin lift is not going to hold it so well. So it could hold many different sizes. 9 out of 10 or 20 out of 21 are going to be perfectly fine. But there are those that are going to be not good enough, and the animal will have a little wiggle room within that brace. And that wiggle room is the potential for an animal moving its head. Like you see in this picture, the animal's head is not a perfect fit into here. This actually was part of a video where you could have seen the animal actually move his head during the shechita, which made people wonder that actually it was a Jesus. I thought that was a little too gory to put on the video. But you see there's at least space here, and the animal could wiggle his head. And if it wiggles his head at the wrong time, then we have a problem of addressing. So the overall, having the pen is wonderful for preventing drasa and for satisfying Ramosha's requirement that the animal be held by a device. But it's just a little question, and also questions that maybe sometimes it's too tight, and little questions of maybe it's Mr. Kenes, because those don't seem to be such serious concerns. Okay, and our last thing to speak about is the rotating pen, what I first described as the Weinberg pen. The Weinberg pen was not accepted in the United States. Even in England, they later had lots of questions on it, and Diane Weiss spoke about that maybe they should make improvements to satisfy those concerns and take care of the problems so that Weinberg pen should be okay. It built very similar to the American pen, at least theoretically. It's built in the same kind of a way. There's, of course, no belly lift because this animal is going to be rotated. After the animal fits into the pen and it's held in place, the whole pen rotates 180 degrees and the animal ends up basically laying on its back. So, of course, the belly lift laying on its back. So it has the same chin lift. Everything is held. It's held in place in lots of great ways. And of course, this doesn't have any problems with milamata lamaila. This here you shechet milamata lamaila. The shechet and his knife are above the animal's neck. So there are those, like some of those things I mentioned before, who promote this and say, yeah, let's go. We should go with a pen with animal lays on its back. It's traditional and it avoids a lot of these issues that there could have been as a way to do shechet.